You're listening to Confidently She, a lifestyle and mindset podcast for women of faith, hosted by copywriter and body confidence coach, Rebecca Biggie. Get ready to question the beliefs that are making you question your self-worth and become Confidently She. I am Rebecca Biggie, and I am really excited that you're listening to this episode right now, because honestly, you could be doing anything with your time, and the fact that you are committed to working on your confidence and to putting in the time to figure out different ways to practice confidence instead of insecurity, I mean, I think that's a cool thing anyway, but as a body confidence coach who works with women to do this, I can tell you the number one thing that's going to make a difference is your commitment to making a change. You can sign up for the coaching, you can do the programs, you can do whatever, but if you aren't committed, you won't get the results. You can pay the money, you can watch the stuff, but if you're not committed, you won't get the results. And that's what I love about my podcast listeners, is because you only have the commitment, right? Like, there's no money. Like, it's free to listen to this. So all you have is the commitment, which I think is so cool. The only thing about it is the podcast only goes into so much detail and there's so much more to learn. So since you're committed, I put together something that is really cool that I think you might want to do if you want to take it to the next level. If you're like, okay, Rebecca, been following you for a while. I like what you're saying. I love what you're all about. I wish that I could be as confident as you. You don't have to wish, okay? Because this is not just like a character trait that God gave me. No, this is a practice. This is a skill that I have learned and I have practiced over the, 26 years of my life, but especially over the past few years, I have been intentional about figuring out, okay, where does confidence come from? How do I practice it? Where are the pitfalls? Where do people make mistakes? Why is this such a huge issue for people? I figured out a couple different areas that women struggle, and I am teaching it to you in something that is called Confidently She, the program. I am doing a summer semester that starts in June. June through September, we are taking 4 months to go through four different topics of what's holding you back, where you can grow your confidence in your life, not just body image, not just body confidence, but how that influences every other part of your life. And when you can get that foundation, it just spills over into everything else, and you realize you have so much more mental space to care about things that are actually important. You start seeing other people differently. You don't view other women as your competition or people to compare yourselves to. Like, your whole world changes when you start practicing confidence instead of criticism. And you can join me in this summer semester of Confidently She, the program. It is June through September. Go to RebeccaBiggie.com/program right now to read all about it. Sign up. It is going to be absolutely amazing. I am so excited. There are four different trainings, and then there are a couple bonus trainings, because I had some ideas that I wanted to share, but I didn't want to make the program any longer because I understand 4 months is a commitment. However, remember I said there are four trainings? Yeah, four trainings over 4 months. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can commit that much time over the summer, like, I'm busy. Everyone's busy. Okay, I'm busy. I've got stuff going on. You've got stuff going on. I understand that. So that's why I made the program so powerful, but not a lot of time. There are simple things that if you do them well, when you do this the right way, it doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes the right perspective and the right commitment to seeing a change. And that's why I'm excited to talk about this topic, because it's actually not terribly complicated. I'm going to share 5 ways to encourage a positive body image so you learn to love what's looking back in the mirror. Before I get into that, I want to take a moment to explain the intention behind why I called this episode this. Because after this episode, I can guarantee you will not go from having a negative body image to a positive body image. You will not automatically start loving your body after this episode. Even if you do the program I mentioned, you might not start loving your body. That is something that takes a lot of time. If you think about it logically, like if you've spent 20 years hating something, it's not going to take you 20 minutes to love it. It might take you like 2 years, okay? If we're being honest. And I think that's one reason women struggle so much with this is because they have these unrealistic expectations of like, oh, this will just be fixed in like 2 weeks and everything is going to be fine, because we're so used to these stupid exercise and weight loss things that promise results instantly. And it's just, that just doesn't work. It definitely doesn't work with the inside stuff, the stuff that really matters. It takes time, but you know what? That's okay. Everybody's on their journey. Everybody's at a different spot. I'm still working on it. And this has been like 4 years in the making of being intentional about figuring my crap out. So if it's taken me 4 years of intentional stuff, I don't know, like probably will take you a little longer than 4 months, even if you do it right. But here's the thing. You just need the tools. You need to have the proper expectation. You need to be kind to yourself. You need to be patient with yourself. You need to be encouraging. And you can do that. I know you can do that. So it's about learning to love what's looking back at you in the mirror and encouraging a positive body image. This is not an out-of-the-box thing. You can't buy this. You can't have it in 2 seconds. It's something you have to make yourself. So let's get started. If you want to love your body, everyone's talking about like body love and body confidence and all this stuff. If you want to love your body and you want to have a positive body image, you can't start with just like, just love it. Like, and I know this sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised. There's a lot of advice out there that's like, oh, 5 steps to loving your body. Step one, find something you love about your body and tell yourself you love it. Like, what? Like, that's, no, you need to start where you're at. And where you're at right now is a place where you're not so excited about your body. And that's okay. I've been there. I go back there sometimes, not for long, but we all struggle with this. So it's like having a positive body image does not start with self-love. It starts way before that. That would be like saying having a birthday cake starts with lighting the candles. Like, well, not really. Like, yes, maybe that's what technically makes it a birthday cake, is putting the candles on it and lighting it and singing the song. But there was a lot of planning that went into that. Like, you have no idea the amount of planning that goes into something as simple as a birthday cake to get that result. So imagine what goes into having something as rare as self-love, as loving your body, as being comfortable in the body you have and not criticizing yourself. Like, that is rare. So if you think about the amount of time and effort that goes into having something as simple as a birthday cake and thinking that you can just like start at the end and have it, like, you're wrong. So let's go with this birthday cake example for a little bit. So if I were to ask you, what's the first step in making a cake? Like, similar to what's the first step of encouraging a positive body image? If we're not starting at the end, where most people suggest you to, where do you start? Well, you might say going to the grocery store and getting the ingredients, buying flour, buying sugar, eggs, frosting, things like that. And that would definitely be a better place to start. But even that isn't the first step. And this is where we get everything wrong when we're talking about the inner stuff. We want to start at the end. We want to start in the middle. We want to start in the place where we already have some results and we just need to take it a little bit further. But if that's not where you are, you can't start there. Otherwise, the results will not be what you expected. So the real first place to start when you're making a birthday cake is to ask some qualifying questions. Whose birthday is it? When is it? Do we need this cake today or do we need it in 6 months? Because that's going to make a difference on when I start making it, right? Like, I'm not going to make a birthday cake today for 6 months from now. That doesn't make any sense. Right? How many people are going to be there? How big of a cake do we need? And then here's the biggest question. Should I even bring a cake? Do they like cake? Maybe they're vegan and they need a special kind of cake and whatever, or maybe they don't even like it and they want pie or they want cookies or they want donuts or whatever. So you need to understand what is going on before you start looking at your body and saying, I love my arms, even though I hate them. You know, like, you're lying to yourself if you're trying to do those affirmations of whatever, like, it doesn't work. If it worked, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast right now. You'd be confident and you'd be like, yeah, no, that's cool. I'm just moving on with my day. That stuff doesn't work because you're not starting at the beginning. So where do you start when it comes to body image and body confidence and having a positive body image? You need to start at the beginning, okay? And the beginning is asking those qualifying questions. And here's another quick reminder before I get into that. Let's say you didn't ask those qualifying questions about your cake and someone just says, we need a birthday cake. That's a text you get from a friend. You make a ton of assumptions. You're like, all right, I think it's this person's birthday and I think we're all getting together this weekend. So you show up at your friend's house this weekend with a chocolate cake that feeds about 10 people. And first of all, nobody's there because that's not when the party was. Second, they needed the cake last night. And you weren't there, and there were 40 people there, and so your cake wasn't even going to be enough, and everyone was allergic to chocolate, so no one could eat it. So can you see, like, if you don't have the right information, you're going to show up with something that's wrong, even if the cake you made was delicious. Like, that's the other thing, especially about bodies, because, like, attractiveness and whatever, like, it's also subjective. Like, you can have a great cake. It can taste wonderful. It can look good and whatever, but if it's not in the proper context, it's not going to be appreciated in the way that it could be if it were in the proper context. If you bring a chocolate cake to someone who hates chocolate, they are not going to be super excited about that cake. But if you bring it to a person who loves chocolate, they're going to be like, oh my goodness, this is amazing, even if it's not the best chocolate cake in the world. Like, so do you see what I'm saying here? Context matters. Understanding the situation first matters. So here are 5 ways to encourage a positive body image. I'm going to stop talking about cake, I promise. Here's the first one. Write down 2 daily functions of a body. Maybe that's walking, singing, creating something, lifting things. I don't know what you do for your job or whatever, but like, what does a body do every day? It doesn't have to be your body. Just a body. What does it do? What is the function? At least 2 functions of a body. And now I want you to imagine losing those functions. If you couldn't walk anymore, or you couldn't talk anymore, you couldn't sing, you couldn't hug people. This is what I do to help appreciate the core functions of my body when I am starting to be a jerk to myself about how it looks. Your body's just trying to do its job, and you're sitting here criticizing it. Like, instead of criticizing it for the way it looks, why not be thankful for the fact that it's functioning? That's the first step to help you feel more positive about your body, is to look at its function. Number two, write down two daily needs of a body. So this could be rest, right? We have to sleep every day. Food, water, movement. You can't just sit there all day. You would go insane. Maybe something like laughter, being around other people, community. And now imagine a body's response to depriving it of those things that you just said it needs every day. This gets into how we can kind of punish ourselves through depriving our bodies of what it needs. Bodies need rest. And for a long time, I told myself I didn't need it. I liked to sleep, but when I was awake, I was always pushing myself. I was saying yes to everything. I was doing everything. I was go, go, go all the time. And what would happen, I mean, as you could expect, if you deprive a body of rest, eventually you're going to get sick. So every few months, I would get sick for like 2 weeks straight. On the couch, I would need to sleep all the time. I would be sick for like 2 weeks because my body was like, you know what, Rebecca? No. I need rest and you're not giving it to me, so fine, now I'm sick. What are you gonna do about it? I told you, you know, like I told you I needed to rest. I told you this was too much. And now I'm gonna lay you out for 2 weeks because you will not stop. So I've learned to respect that my body needs rest. Because it just makes sense. If you deprive a body of things that it needs, it's going to retaliate. It's going to be like, dude, stop it. Like, you need to eat. You need to move. Otherwise, unhealthy things are going to happen. Your body is going to get sick in one way or another. It's going to look sick in one way or another. And even if you are not around people, you start developing depression. Your mental health suffers. That's what happens. All right, next, ask yourself, who is my body created for and why? This is a very interesting existential question that if you're not a believer in Christ and you don't believe that God made you and that God has a purpose for your life, this one's probably going to send you down a weird path, because you were created by God for a purpose. Your body does not exist just for yourself. Your body does not exist so that you can exercise and limit your calories so that your arms are toned and your abs are flat and tight and you have a nice juicy butt that fills out your jeans in the right way. Like, what would be the point of a body that just looks good? And for who? For other people's enjoyment, for your own satisfaction of being able to be like, oh, I have a nice body. Like, no, that doesn't make any sense. That would be pointless. Why would something like that exist just to sustain itself? Like, give the universe a little more credit. Give God a little more credit, because he made you for more than being a skinny, pretty girl who wears the same pant size since high school. Who cares about that, right? Like, that's not your purpose. And if that's what you're spending all your time on, you will realize, like really, what are you created to do? Focus on that instead of what your body looks like while you're doing it. Your body does not exist for yourself. It does not exist for your husband. It does not exist for the enjoyment of men. It does not exist to compete against other women to see who's the best looking, who's the fittest, who's the strongest, who has the nicest butt, who wore it best. But we're conditioned to think that way because of our culture, but the Bible does not agree with that culture. Man looks at the outside appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Who you are is at the heart, which leads into number 4. If everyone on the planet looked exactly the same, how would people identify you from someone else? If we all looked the same, let's say everybody had the same body type, all women looked the same way, all men looked the same way, how would someone know it's you? Where would you get your identity? Where would you put that stake in the ground and say, this is me? This is who I am. This is what gives me worth and value. Because you are not your body. And if you don't believe that you are not your body, I want you to watch the movie, The Theory of Everything. It's about Stephen Hawking. That man did a lot. And he was confined to a body that was sick and very immobile. But he had a wife. He had kids. He made a huge impact on the world. Your limitations of your body do not define you unless you let them. The way you look is one tiny little part about who you are, and honestly, it's the least interesting. The way you look is the least interesting part about who you are. Be more than that. And if you think that the way you look is the most interesting part about who you are, you need to become a more interesting person, okay? It's possible. I've worked on that. I used to just kind of skate by on my looks and be like, oh, well, I'm cute and people like me because of that, so whatever. Because that's how I was conditioned to think about myself. Because that's how everyone treated me. That's a sidebar. But seriously, the way you look is not you. You are so much more than that. And if other people have been treating you like that's who you are, that's all you have value in your whole life, it makes sense that you struggle with this. But you can be more. Choose it. How would people identify you if everyone looked the same? And then number 5, this is something that I've started doing. I don't do it as much anymore because it's starting to internalize and I'm really starting to see my body as an objective kind of separate part from who I am. But at the beginning, what really helped me was asking myself questions in the third person and referring to my body and myself in the third person once in a while, because I find I am much more forgiving and understanding when I'm talking about other people than when I'm talking about myself, because I have very high expectations of myself. So what I'll say a couple times throughout the day, actually, is just kind of do a check-in and be like, okay, what does Rebecca need right now? What does Rebecca's body need today? Well, I'm feeling a little soft. I'm feeling a little lazy. I'm feeling a little sluggish. So maybe I need more movement. Or I've been moving a lot and I'm hungry. I need more food because I've been moving so much that I need to be refueled. I need nourishment. Or maybe I need more water. Maybe I need, you know, those things that you said bodies need every day. Check in with yourself and say, how am I doing? What do I need? What does Rebecca's body need today? What does Rebecca need? It is okay to fulfill those needs. You just made a logical argument. This is what you did with these 5 steps, by the way. I bet you didn't realize. You made a logical argument to help advocate for yourself when you need something and see your body as this machine that helps you live your life that deserves and needs attention from you. Sometimes it's not going to be the most fun, the thing that it needs. But guess what? Sometimes you have to go grocery shopping and you do that. Sometimes you have to let your dogs outside. That's not super fun, but you do that. Sometimes your body needs the movement. Sometimes your body needs the food that isn't the most fun to eat. But you know what? When you're in tune with your body and you're like, all right, what do I need? I want something lighter. I want something, or I want chocolate. Like, you can have chocolate if your body is telling you it wants it. Not your mind, your body. If your body is telling you that that's what it needs, trust it. So asking yourself those questions in the third person helps you see yourself in a more objective way. It helps you see yourself the way you would see someone else, because more often than not, we are a lot nicer to other people than we are to our own bodies and self internally when we're thinking through how we're going to go about our day. All of these things help you see your body for what it is, which is a vehicle for you to fulfill God's purpose for placing you on this temporary earth. It's all temporary. It is temporary. So why are we making such a big deal about the vehicle we were put in to do the work? Focus on the work and be kind to your vehicle. Take care of your vehicle. We are called to be stewards of the earth and of ourselves, of our bodies. If my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I want to take care of it. I want to make sure that it has what it needs. That is how you have a positive body image. You challenge yourself on why you are putting so much thought and energy and stress and worry about what your body looks like. Who cares? Yeah, you want to be attractive. Yeah, you want to be healthy. Sure, but guess what? Health does not always equal looking a certain way. I have been very unhealthy and I have looked the same. Like, your physical body does not always represent accurately how healthy you are. And your physical appearance is not the only thing that makes you attractive. Actually, it's like not even that important when it comes to being attractive, because your looks are fading anyway. Like, everybody's getting worse in the looks department. Like, we're all getting older. Everything is getting wrinkly. Like, don't worry about it, because it's going to be gone in 20 years. Like, so if you're putting all of your worth and attractiveness points coming from your appearance, like, good luck. Like, that's not going to work out for you. Other things make you attractive. And if other things don't make you attractive, then you need to do some personal development and become an attractive person. Your sense of humor, how you treat other people, just literally who you are. Because remember, you are not your body. So these are 5 ways to encourage a positive body image so that you can learn to love what's looking back in the mirror. Because when you start seeing your body for all the things that it does for you every day, and caring for yourself in a way that a mother cares for her child, or that a friend cares for you. Like, if you can care for yourself in that way, your relationship with your body changes and you see yourself for different things than just, oh, I have a wrinkle here, or I have a hair here that I don't like, or this mole is something that I wish could be removed, or my hair sucks, or whatever. That stuff just falls away because you see yourself for so much more than that, and you appreciate your body for so much more than that. And if you want to join Confidently She the program this summer semester of going deep into your identity and your self-worth, understanding why we need to stop competing with other women and how there's no such thing as rejection when you are a confident person, learning about becoming more than a body. What does that look like for you? How can you create that in your life? What things can you get your identity in? Newsflash, little spoiler alert, fun fact, it's who God says you are. But what does that look like? How do we do that? Join the program, rebeccabiggie.com/program. We don't start till June, but you can sign up right now. Lock in your spot. I don't know how many women are going to sign up. I might limit it to like 10 or 12, maybe 20. I don't know. It depends on how many people sign up, but I want you to commit to this. If you're ready for the next level, if you're ready to take this to the next level, this summer semester of Confidently She, the program is going to be so much fun. Join your other sisters in Christ. Join me. Let's do this. I am super pumped about this, if you can't tell. And until next week, keep finding ways to become confidently she.